ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணபதயே நமஹ. ஓம் சர்வ மங்கள மாங்கல்யே சிவே சர்வார்த்த சாதிகே சரண்யே த்ர்யம்பகே கௌரி நாராயணி நமோஸ்துதே. ஓம் ஹரி ஓம் தத்சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் சதா சிவ சமாரம்பாம் வ்யாஸ சங்கர மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஸ்ருதி ஸ்மிருதி புராணானாம் ஆலயம் கருணாலயம் நமாமி பகவத் பாத சங்கரம் லோக சங்கரம் சங்கரம் சங்கராச்சாரியம் கேசவம் பாதராயணம் சூத்ர பாஷ்ய க்ருதௌ வந்தே பகவந்தௌ புனஃ புனஃ. ஓம் ஈஸ்வரோ குருராத்மேதி மூர்த்தி பேத விபாகினே வ்யோமவத் வ்யாப்த தேஹாய தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தயே நமஹ. ஓம் சகனாவவது சகனௌ புனக்து சக வீரியங்கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஓம் பத்ரம் கண்ணே பிஷ்ருணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கை ஸ்துஷ்டு வாகம்ஸஸ்தனூபிஹ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ப்ரஜ்ஞானாம்ஷு ப்ரதானை ஸ்திரச்சர நிகர வ்யாபிபர் வ்யாப்ய லோகான் புக்த்வா போகான் ஸ்தவிஷ்டான் புனரபி திஷணோத்பாசிதான் காமஜன்யான் பீட்வா சர்வான் விசேஷான் ஸ்வபிதி மதுரபுங் மாயயா போஜயன்னோ மாயா சங்க்யாதுரியம் பரமமிருதமஜம் ப்ரஹ்மயத்தன்னதோஸ்மி. யோ விஸ்வாத்மா விதிஜ விஷயான் பாஷ்யபோகான் ஸ்தவிஷ்டான் பச்சாச்சான்யான் சமதி விபவான் ஜோதிஷாஸ்வேன சூக்ஷ்மான் சர்வான் ஏதான் புனரபிஷனை ஸ்வாத்மனி ஸ்தாபயித்வா ஹித்வா சர்வான் விசேஷான் விகத குணகண பாத்வசோ நஸ்துரிய.
The 29th Karika, that is the 30th Karika, page number 379. We saw in the Karika the last sentence. Idameva tattvamiti sahatam grahitaram upaiti. Tasya at ஆத்மபாவம் நிகச்சதி. இட் பிகம்ஸ் ஐடென்டிக்கல் வித் ஹிம். மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தி ஆப்ஜெக்ட் ஆஃப் மெடிடேஷன் பிகம்ஸ் ஐடென்டிக்கல் வித் ஹிம். initially, when the person begins his worship meditation upon the given object of meditation, which stands for Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma, in due course of time, how should it become? The object of meditation, as I said yesterday, Upasyaha Vishayaha. The Upasya Vishayaha, the object of meditation, is an existent object. Being existent, it enjoys existence, which means irrespective of whatever it is made of, even if it is a concept also, not even of external form, still a concept, a person can simply dwell upon the concept also. There is a concept which has to be just analyzed in the mind, or whether it is a gross form which is externally perceived. Being an object of knowledge, object of experience, an object enjoys existence, astitvam. That object, existence enjoyed by that object, is the easiness, is nothing but awareness. Existence of any given object presupposes the awareness, the consciousness of the object. This chair exists because I am aware of the existence. I am conscious of its existence. So being conscious and being aware of a given object is what? Lending existence to the object. So, that existent object, what is inseparable with that object is the cause it is made of, the form and name, the effect, the whole object as such enjoys existence. That existence, awareness, chit and sat. Awareness of the object, awareness of the existence of the object, is it? Is actually one's own swarupam. So, I am consciousness, the experiencer, I am consciousness, and I the consciousness am the existence of any object means every object is non-different from one's own self. Which means Atma is non-separate from the object. Finally, it should culminate in the vision that the object being non-separate from oneself is what? Becoming identical with that. It's not separate from me. Atma is different from the object, but object is not different from the Atma. Got it? Object is not different from the Atma. Why? Because object is Atma. Atma have the object. The knower is not the known, but the known is the knower. This is how one becomes identical with the object. This is what is meant by saying Atma Bhavam Nigachati. Seeing the object being non-separate from oneself. Inseparable from oneself. Because one's own self is the existence of the object. So one can see that object being the projection of one's own real nature, which is consciousness. there is nothing which lends existence other than consciousness. How, when we say in this whole hall, when we see this in the presence of the light, all these different colors shine, all the opaque objects shine, means all the lights are turned off, the room is turned to be dark, the colors will remain resolved, will remain covered in darkness, forms will remain covered in darkness, all the objects will lose their status of being existent. But when, only when they shine, they become known, then only they have existence. They enjoy the status of being existent. Status of being existent. So here, light, the light as the illuminator, light having the status of an illuminator from the standpoint of the opaque lends existence. So illumining the object by its mere presence, not by doing something. Illumining the object, bringing the object to light is what? Lending existence to the object. So with reference to every opaque object which enjoys existence, the existence, the easiness enjoyed by any opaque object is easiness, existence of the light. It is the light which is in the form of existence of the opaque object. Like the chair form of the plastic. Chair form of the plastic enjoys existence in the light. So light is not the cause plastic, not the effect the form chair, form name and function. Light is distinct. Light is different from the plastic chair. Cause and the effect. Light is different. But the chair is not different from the light. How do we say it is not different? Light is different. Light is distinct from the plastic chair. But the plastic chair is not different from the light. Why it is not different? Because existence enjoyed by the chair along with its cause belongs to the light. It's not different. Light is non-separate from the chair. Light is non-separate from the chair. Inseparable from the chair. But different from the chair. But non-separate. Inseparable. Distinct. Different. But inseparable. Non-distinguishable. So light is not dependent on this opaque object for its existence. So with reference to opaque thing, light is a satyam. Opaque thing is mithya. Because opaque thing has only dependent existence. So prakasha vyatirekena. Without light, opaque object will be non-existent. It will lose its status of being existent. So light does not create the cause or the effect. Light has nothing to do with the cause or effect. But still light. Because of its very nature of illumining. By its very swarupam. By its mere existence. It lends life. It lends existence. Therefore, opaque thing which shines only in the presence of light, only because of the presence of light, which enjoys existence only because of light, is ever non-different from the light. Non-different from the light. Therefore, chair is light. carries light. It is not different. Light is not a chair. So, the only light which is the truth, which lends existence to all the opaque things simultaneously here. All the opaque objects are non-different. So, we have to understand an important teaching here. Light is free from the object limitation. All the opaque things. Similarly, with reference to the entirety of the cosmos, we have to understand how the reality is free from object limitation. So we have understood the reality is free from threefold limitations. Now I'm introducing the 30th karika. Okay. Reality is free from threefold limitations. We know very well. So kala parichedaha nasti, desha parichedaha nasti, vastu parichedaha nasti. It is free from time limitation. What is reality here? Abstract, formless reality. All-pervasive reality. Obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, implied by the word Atma, is free from three limitations, when we say. Because we understood very clearly already two limitations. What is that? Kala parichedaha. Time limitation is not there. Don't think I'm talking about this limitations because we have to see how Atma is the existence of every object. Atma, the consciousness is existence of every object. We have to understand. That's why I'm talking about limitations now. So we know consciousness is beginningless. It's a causeless, changeless, endless, timeless, eternal. So, we say kala parichedaha nasti, time limitation is not there. Whereas, everything else in this universe, including time, everything has time limitation. Therefore, everything else being subject to time, anityatvam, everything has anityatvam. Therefore, one of the reasons why it is everything is mithya. Then, desha parichedaha we understood. Spatial limitation. There's no place where Atma is not. So space, which is free from spatial limitation, has time limitation. So Atma is all accommodative of the all accommodative space also. So desha parichedaha nasti. There's no place where Atma is not. In fact, space itself enjoys its existence in awareness, in the consciousness. Why? Being an object of knowledge. Very, very important. Drishyatvat. Akashasyapi drishyatvat. Kalasyapi drishyatvat. Time and space, both being objects of knowledge. Both have no independent existence. They depend on our consciousness for their existence. The experiencer consciousness, knower consciousness. Therefore, time and space also. The known is in and through pervaded by the knower. So, the all-pervasive, inexplicably subtle space also is pervaded by consciousness. In the sense, it has no independent existence. Doesn't matter how vast the space is. Space will lose the status of being existent once it is not perceived, not objectified. Therefore, time reality implied with the Atma is free from time limitation, space limitation. We understood. One more thing. What is that? Vastu parichedaha. This is what's important here in this particular place. Vastu Parichedha is object limitation. What object limitation? Every object in this universe, in this world, has object limitation. Why? Every object is different from every other object. In the standpoint of name, in the standpoint of form, and one of functions it serves, every object is limited by every other object. It's called Vastu Parichedaha, object limitation. Being different from every other object in terms of form, name and function is being limited by another object. It's called Vastu Parichedaha. Whereas Atma is free from Vastu Parichedaha also. Atma is free from object limitation. Why? Because there's not even one object which is different from Atma. Chair is different from table, table is different from chair. They limit each other. Both are limited by both. Atma is distinct, but no object in the world is different from Atma. If any object is different from Atma, it would limit the Atma. Atma is not limited by any object because no object is different from Atma. Like what? With reference to water, ocean, we say every wave, no wave is different from water. Why no different from water? Every wave is water. Every wave being water, every wave is water. Therefore, every wave is non-different from water. Non-different from water. There's no wave is water. The wave is not different from water. Even the water is not the wave. Similarly, here every object, every drishyam, every object of experience, subtle or gross, is non-different from the Atma because its existence is not outside of the Atma. Wave is non-different from water because existence enjoyed by the wave is water. Easiness of wave is nothing but water. Easiness of opaque thing is the light. Easiness of pot is clay. Easiness of ornament is gold. Easiness of furniture is wood. Easiness of time is consciousness. Easiness of space is consciousness. Easiness of every element is consciousness. Easiness of all elementals is consciousness. Easiness of living beings is consciousness. Easiness of non-living things is consciousness. Easiness of actions is consciousness. Easiness of emotions, thoughts is consciousness. Easiness of disease is consciousness. Easiness of actions, easiness of accessories of actions is consciousness. Easiness of result of action is consciousness. Easiness of experience of pain and pleasure, results of action is consciousness. Easiness enjoyed by everything and anything in this world is nothing but consciousness. Therefore, no object in this universe is different from consciousness. Okay? Consciousness alone is in the form of existence of everything. It is vyatirekena, chaitanyam vyatirekena. Outside of consciousness, no existence for anything. That's why this abstract formless reality, consciousness implied by Tamatma, is non-different from all the objects, the entirety of the universe. The universe is non-different from consciousness. Now reduce whole. I simply said some names. You just reduce everything to one as universe. Jagat, prapanchaha, ayam prapanchaha, chaitanya vyatirekena, nasyat. Whole jagat is non-different from consciousness. Because the existence enjoyed by the jagat is easiness of the universe is consciousness. And what is it consciousness? Only experiencer in the whole of this jagat is what? Only experiencer is, only knower, only observer, the only subjective knowledge is consciousness. Therefore, we can say what? The whole jagat is non-different from, the known jagat is non-different from the knower consciousness. This understanding, Atma being free from object limitation is, from the standpoint of the fact that existence enjoyed by every object is consciousness. Consciousness is what? Existence. That's how every object is non-different from consciousness. Atma. It's called Vastu Paricheda. So Vastutaha Aparichinaha. Vastu Parichedaha Nasti Atmanaha. Therefore what? Everything is the Atma. When you say, and finally you have to say, if it's only experiencer is this abstract formless reality, because knowing is its sarupam, and here you have no choice. You have to take ownership of this consciousness as the content of I. Where can you see? I am consciousness. I, the consciousness, am the existence of the whole jagat. Once the I sense is shifted cognitively from the anatma to the atma, not physically, now already the body, mind and complex become included in this world of objects. Abstract reality is there. I is resolved. You can just say what? I, the consciousness, am the whole. The whole jagat is you. That is the meaning of the statement Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi. The whole is you. You are the whole. There's no, nothing is different from you. This is how one has to see the self being Atma, Idam Sarvam, Atma. This is the vision one has to arrive at finally through, okay, not directly. This Saguna Brahma Upasanam should culminate in the Nirguna Brahma Upasanam also. And finally, this is the vision one should have. Later on, the person has to see the object I have seen as something different from me is non-different from me. Okay? That I alone am that object. So you, the consciousness, are there as the existence of the whole. This has to become very clear. So Gaudapada Acharya again clarifies that same understanding in this 30th Karika. Okay? Let's see here. What has been already understood is become again, you know, consolidated again, again reinforced. Etairesho prithak bhavaihi. Etairesho prithak bhavaihi. Prithageveti lakshitaha. Prithageveti lakshitaha. Evam yo veda tattvena. Evam yo veda tattvena. Kalpayetso vishankitaha. Kalpayetso vishankitaha. Etairesho prithak bhavaihi. Etairesho prithak bhavaihi. Prithageveti lakshitaha. Prithageveti lakshitaha. Evam yo veda tattvena. Veda tattvena. Kalpayetso vishankitaha. Kalpayetso vishankitaha. So here, we have objects of meditation. Saguna Brahma Upasanam. For the purpose of preparing the mind, Upasanas are prescribed in the Upasana Kanda. So, a person can become adequately mentally steady and pure in due course of time. So, Upasanas are prescribed. Saguna Brahma Upasanam means Ishvara Upasanam. Saguna Brahma Upasanam means Ishvara Upasanam. Ishvara Upasanam means what? Either one can meditate upon Ishvara as the source of creation, as Brahma, as Hiranyagarbha, or one can meditate upon Ishvara as the cause of the creation. One can meditate upon Ishvara as one, as the source of existence of the creation, as Vishnu, or as the one in whom everything resolves. Any one given form, a given concept, one can meditate upon Ishvara. Repeatedly, even the concept itself, repeatedly seeing the concept. Or meditating upon the form symbolizing the concept. Concept is subtle. So, in this meditation, there is something called superimposition is there. Here, actually, what is to be meditated upon actually is Atma. But here, these objects are prescribed for meditation. And here, these objects, these concepts are not real. Ishvara, okay? Ishvara concept is not real. Mithya. Everything is mithya. Atma alone is satyam. So even the concept of Ishvara is what? Mithya only. Ishvara status is mithya. The creator status is mithya. The protector status is mithya. Sustainer status is mithya. The resolver status is mithya. So everything is mithya only. Therefore the form is also mithya. The form, the personified form also is mithya. Personification of that concept also is mithya. Of course everything is mithya, very clear. But what do we do in Upasanam? Upasanam, that object given, object of meditation is introduced as what? The reality. The non-real mithya form, either in the form of concept or in the form of a symbol, is superimposed deliberately on the reality Atma. When you say this is God, this is reality means what? This form, this name, or the concept, okay, this is symbolized by this form, is superimposed upon Atma Darya. What is real? What is absolutely real is here the consciousness existence implied by term Atma or Brahma. When the non-real thing is superimposed upon the Atma, you take it as Atma. This is deliberate superimposition, isn't it? Suppose when mistaking the rope as a snake is what? That superimposition of the snake upon the rope is vikalpaha, caused by ignorance of the rope. In upasanam, there is no ignorance. It's a deliberate superimposition. So we deliberately attribute the reality status to the given object of meditation. A mithya object is given the reality status. A mithya object means what? Projection. An appearance. Every object here, rightly known object, erroneously perceived object, understood object, anything which enjoys existence, which is relatively real or not real. Relatively non-real object, relatively real object. Okay. Any object is a projection of the Atma. Projection of the Atma. When I say projection, may be very careful, appearance of the Atma. Why? Already I said, being non-different from everything, everything should be understood as the appearance of the Atma only. Every opaque thing is appearance of the light. Because it is non-different from light. Because its existence is of the light. These are three reasons. Every wave is non-different from water. Because it enjoys existence of the wave is water. Therefore what? Every wave is appearance of the water. Similarly here, because it's very difficult here. When you're understanding this world is very difficult. Every gross object, a subtle object, everything is projection of the Atma, because it is non-different from Atma, because it is inseparable from Atma, because it enjoys existence of the Atma. Therefore, what? Projection, appearance only. Everything is appearance here. The projection. So this, even these concepts also projections. These forms symbolizing the concepts also projections. These projections, projected mithya, inert projected mithya forms are given the status of the reality. Superimposed upon the Atma. Being superimposed upon the Atma, we should remember that no, it's only superimposition. But what happens? The object itself becomes real. When a person mistakes the object for the real, the superimposed object, the superimposed projection is mistaken to be that which, okay, projects, that which appears. Mistake to be reality. Then what happens when this mithya object is mistaken to be the reality, okay, then the person will think what? The reality is something different. The reality means the Atma becomes different. Atma, the reality, becomes different from what is seen as the reality. Then what happens? The person will be think of Atma to be different. Therefore, one has to do something differently to experience the Atma. Atma anubhavaha. One has to make some other special effort to experience the Atma. That's why many people are waiting for what? Many waiting for some spiritual experience. Nothing happens. We've been coming to the classes. Nothing is happening. No experience is happening. no flash of something is not something is not flashing. In Vedanta class, it should not flash. If it flashes, then we have to stop the class, have to send the flashing out, again we have to bring it back. No, nothing should flash. Understand? Because pramanam, which is carefully operated, should exactly show what is. When your eyes are, you're opening your eyes, eyes should not do anything else. Eyes only, eyes are open means helplessly you have to see what is light. Pramanam can only make you see what is. Cannot do anything else. Therefore, here also, so why there is a need for, why the need comes on the part of people meditating to search for Atma as something else, to search for Atma, and the need for having some experience of the Atma comes on the part of the people because they mistake the deliberately superimposed object to be real. The reality Atma. Therefore, they search for something else. Okay, this is the reality. So what is Atma then? Atma is something different. Means, I'm meditating on this object, I'm meditating on this object, I'm doing this japam, I've been practicing meditation, I'm waiting for the experience of the Atma. In fact, okay, meditation, then they want to practice meditation to that extent, even to undo the mind, undo all the thoughts. All the thoughts go, mind goes, I'll have some experience. Atma anubhavaha. I'll have spiritual experience. In fact, what we have to understand here is, without pushing away anything, without undoing anything, we need not make any efforts to undo anything to discover Atma. Without trying to undo, remove anything, we can have the vision of the Atma. Suppose, if at all a person, the things come, meditation, that means as a result of meditation, I want to undo my mind. I want to push all my thoughts away to have special experience of the Atma. In fact, every cognition, every perception, every thought, in every experience, there is Atma. As the very existence of the thought. One can avoid it. We need not make effort to break the pot to see the clay. We need not make, not really break the pot to see the clay. We need not really chase away the snake to see the rope. We need not undo anything here to see the Atma. Because it is not possible. First of all, it's not possible to chase away the snake. Not possible to, okay, for you to see the Atma in every object, not only the object of meditation, in every object also, one has to see the fact again and again and again. This abstract, formless reality, imperfectum Atma alone, is in the form of existence of the object. In every experience, what is invariably experienced is the experiencer consciousness in the form of existence of the experienced object. Consciousness is invariably experienced as the experience in the form of the experience, in the form of existence of the experienced object. That is what manifested consciousness is experienced in the form of the existence of the experienced object. Therefore, it is the Atma which is non-different from every other object. Okay. So here, that's what Acharya is trying to say here. Yetaihi, I'm going to read now, okay? With this understanding, let us see the, what is made here. Yetaihi yeshaha apratag bhavaihi prithag eva iti lakshitaha. Yeshaha lakshitaha. What does it mean? This Atma, this all-pervasive, absolute, abstract reality, consciousness implied with them Atma, this Atma is considered erroneously seen. Okay? Yeshaha lakshitaha. To be prithageva iti. Prithag means separate. This Atma is considered to be, mistaken to be, erroneously mistaken to be different, separate. Prithag means what? Separate. Is Atma separate? No. Atma is not separate. Atma is erroneously mistaken to be separate from, what no? Bhavaihi, etaihi, prithag bhavaihi. All these different objects. All these different objects. In fact, which objects here? Objects prescribed for meditation. Objects prescribed for meditation. Okay, the objects of meditation are non-different from Atma. Non-separate from Atma. Not from Atma. Atma is non-separate from objects of meditation. But here what happens? Yeshaha Atma. The word Yeshaha is a third person singular pronoun. This. This implies here Atma. This Atma is Lakshitaha. Is erroneously considered to be, taken to be, Prithag, separate from all the Prithag, different, the different objects of meditation. What are they? We're going to see in the Bhashyam. Actually, they are non-different, non-separate. Atma is not separate from the objects of meditation. Why it is not separate? Atma is, it's only projection. Projection only. Every object being projection of the consciousness. Every known object being the projection of Atma, the consciousness. Every object enjoys its existence only in consciousness. Therefore, Atma is non-separate from every projected object. Water is non-separate from the wave because wave is nothing but appearance of the water. Every object being appearance of the Atma, this Atma is non-separate from every object. But here, yeshaha prithageva iti lakshitaha. The Atma is looked upon, considered as separate from all these different objects of meditations. Prithag bhavaihi, etaihi prithag bhavaihi, yeshaha prithageva iti lakshitaha. But it is not separate. Atma is from the very existence of every object here. Yaha tattvena veda. Yaha evam tattvena veda. The person who understands this in reality. In reality, no object is separate from Atma. The Atma is not separate from no object. Atma is non-separate from any, every object. In reality, Tattvena Veda, that person is the one who really knows. Yaha evam Tattvena Veda. In this manner, a person who knows that of this Atma is non-separate from the object of meditation. Non-separate. Because it is, every object is the projection, appearance of the Atma only. Every object is non-separate from, non-different from the Atma. But who understands in reality, Saha Avishankitaha Kalpayet. That person alone, what now? Avishankita, free from all the doubts. Avishankitaha. No more shanka for him. What the jnani, the person, avishankitaha, is the one who has his clear understanding that Atma is non-separate from every object of meditation. Atma is non-separate from every object. Need not be object of meditation. So every object is only appearance of the Atma, means already you are resolving what? Subject-object division. The duality is already resolved. When you say every object is projection of the Atma, appearance of the Atma, means Atma is non-separate from it, the projection, its own projection. Therefore, there is no second thing. There is no object. You are negating what? Object. There is no object. It's a projection. But there is no object. Therefore, Atma has subject also no. So, subject-object division itself can be resolved here when you see the object as the projection of the Atma. Thereby, you see Atma being non-separate from the projected object. Such a person kalpayet saha avishankitaha. Such a person who has very doubt-free, clear vision of the Atma being non-separate from any object and every object, saha kalpayet. The word kalpayet here has a different meaning. Everywhere else, the word kalpayet means what? Projects, creates, imagines. But the word, in Samskritam, one word can have many meanings. So, kalpayati means projects. Kalpayati imagines. Kalpayati creates, makes. Here, kalpayati means, kalpayat means, here, he interprets, expounds. So, kalpayat, avishankitaha kalpayat, he, that person, being free from all doubts, he becomes capable of interpreting. Interpreting the whole teaching of the Shastram properly. We are going to see something very interesting, important lesson here. Bhasham helps us understand much more than what we understand from the Karika. This is the literal meaning of the Karika. That's all. So what is explained is what? In the first, that is what people, that is how the object of meditation is mistaken to be, okay, to be different, not different. Atma is not separate from the object, but it is mistaken. When it is mistaken, that is when you have to search for the Atma elsewhere. Understand? The very necessity to search Atma elsewhere comes only when you do not, when you see the Atma being, look at the Atma, different from the object of meditation. Therefore, Atma is non-separate from the object. In this manner, a person who understands, that person, avishankitaha, being free from all the doubts, possible doubts, with a clear vision, he alone interprets. He alone becomes capable of interpreting the teaching, even the statements of the Shastram also correctly. Okay. Let us go to the Shastram, the Bhashyam here. Before we go, let me make it very clear. See, kalpayet, that verb, the whole Veda Shastram, the entire Veda Shastram presents the teaching. Entire Veda Shastram is a Pramana Grantaha. Entire Shastram is Pramana Grantaha. But here, which statements of which portion should be interpreted how? What is the purpose? Okay, when mantra states something, this statement of the Veda Shastram, of this portion, interprets, okay, conveys this. And this statement of this portion of the Veda Shastram conveys this. One must know the contextual meaning of the words. One must know how to interpret the statements correctly in keeping with where, in which portion of the Veda it is stated. Whether a statement is a restatement of what is already known, or whether a statement is a statement which serves as a means of knowledge, or a statement is saying something which is related to the objects of meditation. What is the purpose of the statement? What exactly it means? It has to be interpreted correctly. So, what Gaurupacharya says by just stating, avishankitaha kalpayet means only a person who has this very clear, doubt-free knowledge of the vision of the Atma. That all that is here is only Atma. There is a second thing other than the Atma, absolutely. Okay? Relatively, there are differences. Relatively, there are divisions. Relatively, there are forms, names and functions. Relatively, empirically, all these are there. Duality is there. Duality is not denied. Relatively, there is duality is real. Relatively, differences are real. Relatively, divisions are real. Relatively, forms are real. The purposes are real. Names are real. Relatively real. Absolutely, they're all not real. Mithya. This vision a person can have only if a person sees all these countless number of forms, duality itself being the projection of the Atma. When you see everything as a projection, appearance of the Atma, one should be able to see that Atma is non-separate from everything. Everything is non-different from Atma. Atma is non-separate from everything. Why? Because Atma alone is in the form of existence of everything. One has to see. Only then a person can understand exactly what is said by the statements of the Veda Shastram in a different context in different places. Atma Ajnani cannot be the appropriate interpreter of the Shastram. Not only Veda Shastram. We have to see all the literature which reflect the Vedic vision. They also can be interpreted properly only if a person has this clear vision of the Shastram. What exactly is the vision of the Shastram? Ultimate vision of the Shastram is all that is there is only Atma. There's only Brahma. This vision must be there. Then, not only Veda Shastram, all the various other literature which reflect the Veda Shastra, Vedic vision, like Itihasas, Puranas, so any other, all texts, all, even the texts discussing the Dharma Shastram, all of them can be interpreted correctly, exactly, in keeping the context, in keeping the purpose, only if a person has this whole vision. That is what is meant by this word kalpayet. Okay? Why he has to say this? Because purmimamsakaha. Why he has to say this? Unless a person has the vision of the Atma being the whole, it will not be possible for him to interpret correctly even the Vedic statements when they come. Why he says? Because poor Mimamsakas who are very much connected with this Veda Shastram, Karma Kanda, they think duality is real. In spite of being given to study of the Veda Shastram, without having the actual vision of the Shastram. Therefore, of course, Veda Shastram does accept the duality. Why? Accepting the duality alone, accepting all the superimpositions as real, accepting even superimpositions are not real, mithya. They're false. Still, so accepting the superimpositions, accepting this duality, Shastram prescribes the rituals and meditations. Because Shastram never denies the human perception, human experience, accepts our experience, accepts our perception, accepts our conclusions based on our limited perception experience, then Shastram prescribes, which means Shastram first makes us friend. Shastram has to make us friend first. Only then Shastram can influence us. Okay, somebody has to influence you means what? Not in wrong sense, I'm telling. If parents have to have influence on the children, they must win their hearts. If a friend has to win other friend, have to win the heart. Win the heart means accept the person as he is. With a good intention, with a good motive. I want to help this person. It helps a person is troubled. But first of all, I have to make you, he has to follow what I'm saying for him to come out to enjoy the, really to see the welfare. So I have to accept the person as he is. So Shastram accepts, our perception as it is. Shastram prescribes in Karma Upasana Kandas, and there the doership is accepted, enjoyership is accepted, duality is accepted. Jiveshwara Bhedaha is also accepted. Jiva is different, Ishwara is different. Jiva should worship, pray to Ishwara, enjoy the benefits. It's all prescribed for what purpose? The purpose is different. Purpose is not jnanam, not moksha. Of course, so Veda Shastram has the ultimate aim, the main, the tatpariyam of all the mantra of Karma Kanda is also only in vision of non-duality of the reality. Even though ultimate tatpariyam is in the vision of the non-duality of the reality, still accepting your erroneous perception as real, Shastram prescribes just to help human beings grow, to become prepared, emotionally, intellectually, for having the vision later on. That's why all the mantras, which are all the statements of the Karma Kanda, which prescribe the karma and upasanam, accepting the duality, those statements prescribing karma, actually duality, should not be taken as the pramana statements serving as means of knowledge. They're only these anuvada vakyani, anuvadini shrutihi. I told you already this. No. The tatparyam is, even the karma kanda also, tatparyam is ultimately the vision of non-duality of the reality only. So there are statements in the Jnana Kanda. They serve as Pramana Vakyani. Pramana Shrutihi. Definitely, they are meant, they serve as the means of knowledge. This is one thing. Then, even the Shastram, another extra point, okay, we have to remember. In the Shastram also, Veda Shastram is not a Shastram of do's, commandments. Shastram does not really state any commandments. Do's and don'ts. Okay. Why? Because it's very important to understand. The Pramanam cannot make a person do something. Suppose if you see the eyes are open, you're seeing the light means light, what can eyes cannot make you make you see the light, but cannot make you do anything other than that. Eyes can't make you do anything means Pramanam cannot influence a person to do anything. It can just reveal what is. It can only make you do what is. Make you see what is. So, even in the Karma Upasana Kandas, it's very important to know this also. I'm telling you all this as interpretation of the word Kalpayet, meaning of the word Kalpayet. See, there is nowhere in the Karmakanda Shastram it is said, you must speak the truth. You should not tell a lie. You must not hurt. Direct instruction like this, do's and don'ts are not said in the Shastram. If suppose it is said, it is not a Pramana. When you say Veda Shastra is the Pramana Grantaha means, as a book of which serves as a means of knowledge, it cannot give instruction to do, do's and don'ts. It doesn't give. It cannot. So which are the statements? There are only the statements of facts are given. There is a don't touch fire. That is instruction. That is order, commandment. If you touch fire, you will get burnt. This is knowledge. If you touch fire, you will get burnt. If you do that, you will incur papam. If you do this, you will incur punyam. Punyam be translated into pleasure. Papam will be translated into the experience of pain. This is instruction. It is not commandment. Okay? So Karma Kanda, of course, how Papam will be translated into the experience of pain, Punyam will be translated into the experience of pleasure, but in a Punyam and Papam both are Mithya, time bound. So experience of pain and pleasure also is Mithya, time bound. All these facts are instructions. If you do this, it will incur Papam. If this is done, it is punyam. That's all it is said. You do this, you don't do this, is not said. So, Shastram gives us, okay, makes us think, Shastram helps us to make use of our willpower to choose our action. Choice is ours. Instructions are given. So, that is Pramana. Pramana Grantaha cannot make a person, cannot command. Can present commandments. It only instructs. Pramanam can only teach, reveal. what is. It can only instruct, teach. This is also, this is what why I'm saying all this. This is how the person, if for a person to be able to interpret exactly how, which statement of which portion of Veda, wherever it is, how it should be interpreted, can be known, understood only by a person who has the clear vision of Atma being a secondless, non-dual reality. Then the tatparyam of the whole Veda, the tatparyam of the whole Veda being in the vision of non-dual reality will become very clear. Even though duality is accepted in the beginning, initially, still the tatparyam of the entire Veda is in making a person ascertain, understand the non-duality of the reality. Advaita darshanam one should have. That is tatparyam of the whole Veda. That is when Veda becomes the one which has served its purpose. The purpose of Veda becomes served only when a person has this vision of the non-duality of the reality. So what here he says simply, unfortunately, the superimpositions, the deliberate superimpositions of Sagunam Brahma, of Ishvara, upon the Nirgunam Brahma Atma, sometimes are mistaken to be the reality. Thereby, this Atma is mistaken to be separate from these objects. Then again, people have to search for the Atma. This confusion comes. That is why, even when a person, when you are practicing meditation also, the teacher must tell you, okay, even though you are practicing, you are meditating upon Ishvara, deliberate superimposition of this form also is non-separate from Atma. That's why only Avishankitaha, a person who is completely free from all forms of doubts, of the Atma being absolutely non-dual reality, in whose vision all that is there is only Atma, that person alone is capable of interpreting all the texts of Shastram, the entire Veda, properly. That's what he states. Okay, nothing much. This is the content of the whole Karika. Let us see the Bhashyam. Etaihi pranadibhihi. Today I have to repeat certain things, okay? Repeat and repeat. Sorry. Etaihi pranadibhihi. See, first he says, the word etaihi. Etaihi means by these. By these means by what? Karika gives only etaihi. And prithak bhavaihi, it is said. So, Shankara Bhagavad makes understand. Etaihi means pranadibhihi. Pranadibhihi means what? By all these different versions of Ishvara. As Pranaha, Hiranyagarbha, Virat, as Shivaha, Vishnu, as Brahma. Okay? Pranadibhihi, by all these different versions of Ishvara in terms of Prana, etc. Atmanaha apritak bhutaihi. Apritak bhutaihi. Apritak bhutaihi means what? Apritak bhavaihi. Which are apritak, okay? Which are non-different from Atma. Atmanaha apritak bhavaha. See, pritak bhavaha different, separate. Apritak bhavaha, non-separate. Atmanaha apritak bhavaihi. All these, by all these different versions of Ishvara, such as prana, etc., which are non-separate from Atma, non-different from Atma. Apratak bhavehi. Apratak bhotehi means apratak bhavehi. Yeshaha Atma, this Atma, Rajjuhu iva sarpadi vikalpana rupaihi. He gives example. Rajjuhu sarpadi vikalpana rupaihi iva. Just as Rajjuhu iva, just as the rope is non-separate from the false superimpositions upon the rope such as snake, etc. The falsely superimposed snake, okay, the rope is non-separate from the superimposed snake. Is rope separate? Definitely not. So, rope is non-separate from the snake, the superimposed upon the rope. Similarly, Atma is non-separate from all these different versions of Ishvara which have been superimposed upon the Atma for the purpose of meditation. So, Yetehi Pranadibihi Atmanaha Apritak Bhavehi Apritak Bhutehi Apritak Bhavehi Yeshaha Atma is non-different. But still, like what? Just as the rope is non-separate from the rope snake, etc. Vikalpana rupaihi. But what happens? Prithageva lakshitaha. But unfortunately, it is taken to be what? Separate. Atma is non-separate from these versions of Ishvara. Deliberately superimposed upon the Atma. Or mistaken to be what? Atma mistaken to be separate. Prithageva iti lakshitaha. Lakshitaha means what? Abhilakshitaha. Abhilakshitaha means what? Nishchitaha. Oh my God, he says, Shankara Bhagavatpada explains it. Moodaihi. Okay? Moodaihi iti arthaha. Only by deluded people, deluded minded, people who do not have the discriminative knowledge of, okay, what Atma is, what Anatma is, only by such people, these Atma is mistaken to be separate from the falsely, okay, the superimposed projections upon the Atma. Deliberate superimposition, okay, superimposed projections of the Atma. Projections for meditation. By whom? Moodaihi eva. Only by deluded people. Only one small teaching. Okay? We have to talk 1 hour. Only one line of what you understand finally is what? The so-called the object of meditation. Upasya devata. Upasya vishayaha. Which is deliberately superimposed upon the Atma. As reality, because it becomes a symbol, is taken to be the reality, okay, should be understood as what? Non-separate from Atma. Atma understood as non-separate from that object. But unfortunately, prithageva iti lakshitaha, nischitaha, oh, Atma is separate from, different from object of meditation. Iti, by whom? Moodaihi. By deluded people. People who do not have the discriminative understanding of what Atma is, what Anatma is. Anatma, in fact, there is no Anatma. Ultimately, absolutely, there is only Atma. We use the term Anatma as what? Only until we understand all these objects are nothing but projections of Atma. Therefore, they enjoy existence of the Atma. They don't have existence outside of the Atma. Then, therefore, they're non-separate from Atma. Atma is non-separate from them. Until we understand, we take look at them as Anatma. Where is Anatma? It's only Atma. water and non-water. Can we say that? Are the two things water and non-water? No, water, waves are all non-water. What? Waves are water only. How can it be non-water? Water is not the waves. The waves are water. Therefore, there is no anatma. This is the vision. There is no anatma. There is only atma. Anatma bhavaha, anatma bhavaha. Initially we say this. That's why in the shastra itself the word anatma is used. Initially anatma bhavaha. Objects which are not the atma. Okay? No. There's no anatma at all. There's only atma. There are projections of the atma. So he says, see, without Shankar Bhagavan's commentary, how can we understand what he says in the comment? The Karika doesn't say much. He says he stops there. But Modaha, the Prutagevati Lakshitaha means by whom? Modaihi. How important it is to understand, have a discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Atma's projection is, appearance is. Atma alone appears as the Jagat. Atma appears as all the objects. Therefore, Mudaihi Nishchitaha Prithagevaiti. Unfortunately, Atma is mistaken to be separate from this. Deliberately superimposed deliberate objects, forms. Vivekinam tu varas. Vivekinam. Vivekinaha for the people of discriminative knowledge. Vivekinam for the people of discriminative knowledge. Who know very clearly, okay, what is real, what is as though, what is appearance. I'm not even using as though now. Real means only one reality. There's no other reality here. Only reality, there's only vastu, only substance means only reality. Why should I think of something non-real? The only reality alone is appearing here. Therefore, Vivekinam, for those people who have discriminative understanding of the reality and its appearance and its projections, which are non-separate, non-different from the Atma. So, understand Atma being non-separate from its projections, such people, Vivekinam, too, Rajvam iva kalpitaha sarpadayaha. Na. Just as the snake, etc., snake or stick of water, etc., which are projected upon, which are superimposed upon the rope, are non-separate from the rope. Rope is non-separate from those projections. Similarly, na atma vyatirekena pranadayaha santi. Similarly here, without Atma, okay, out of Atma, Pranadeha Nasanti, all these different versions of Ishvara, which are deliberately superimposed upon the Atma for meditation, are non-different from Atma. Atma is non-separate from those forms. That is why when practicing meditation, one need not, okay, after practice meditation also, one need not search for Atma elsewhere. That's the teaching. Rajvam sarpadayaha Rajvam iva sarpadayaha kalpitaha. How, just as these rope, etc., projects superimposed upon the snake, etc., superimposed upon the rope are non-different from the rope. Rope is non-separate from those snake, etc. Similarly, these pranadayaha, prana is Hiranyagarbha, Virat, prana, different versions of Ishvara, deliberately superimposed upon the Ishvara, superimposed upon Atma as object of meditation are projections only. They are non-different from Atma. Atma is non-separate from them. Okay. Atma na prithak. Atma aprithak. Aprithak bhavaha. Now we can say tarangaha jalat aprithak bhavaha. Aprithak bhavaha means what? Non-separate. So what is aprithak? Non-separate from the waves. This non-separateness must be understood. Non-separateness can be understood only when you see the consciousness being the existence of all forms, names and functions, all objects. So, na atmi vatirekena pranadayaha santi. So, atmi vatirekena pranadayaha na santi. Without Atma, all these different versions of Ishvara are not there. Iti abhiprayaha, this is what is the message, this is the fact conveyed here. Idam sarvam yadayam Atma, finally what is the teaching? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is quoted. Idam sarvam yad idam sarvam ayam atma. Yad idam sarvam. Whatever is this atma only. This atma alone is here as this. Ayam atma eva idam yadasti. Atma alone is here. Atma alone is here means Atma alone, the only formless reality is appearing as all the mithya forms. We did not talk about Anatma, we did not talk about subject-object. Subject-object division is, there is no subject. Subject-object division is mithya. Duality is mithya. Separation is mithya. Differences are mithya. Divisions are mithya. It is Shrutehe. Okay. The commentary is over. One more commentary is there. Page number 1380. Commentary continues. Evam Atma Vatirekena Asatvam. Atma vyatirekena asattvam rajju sarpavat atmani kalpitanam. Atmani kalpitanam atma vyatirekena asattvam na sattvam. Okay. There is non-existence. Okay. Atmani kalpitanam. All the objects. Ishvara, which are superimposed upon the Atma, okay, will be non-real without the Atma, non-existent without the Atma. Atma vyatirekena without the Atma, kalpitanam, atmani kalpitanam asatvam. Okay, they all become non-real. Non-existent, asattvam, which means rajju sarpavati. Without the rope, there cannot be snake. The superimposed snake will be non-existent without the rope. Similarly, without the Atma, all these objects which are superimposed upon the Atma will be non-existent. There will be non-existence only of all the projected superimposed objects without the Atma. Which means, again, what is the teaching here? All of them enjoy existence. They don't have asattvam now. They are sattvam. Their existence means they enjoy existence. The existence is Atma. Therefore, they are non-separate from Atma. Atma is non-different from, not separate from them. Don't think I am repeating, okay? Shankara Bhagavad Pada repeats, I'm saying, I have to say this. Na kevalam nirvikalpam yaha veda tattvena shutitaha yuktitaha saha avishankitaha. He says, who is a person of clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision? Avishankitaha. Who is that person? He says, kevalam nirvikalpam yaha veda. He who understands, okay, Atma, the reality to be nirvikalpam. Atma being free from all divisions. Atma, the person who understands Atma to be nirvikalpam, the reality to be nirvikalpam, yaha veda, tattvena in reality, how, shrutitaha, yuktitaha, cha. Very important again. See, Shankara Bhagavad Pada makes very clear. The person can be avishankitaha, the person of ascertained vision, only if he is, if he use the apramanam. Without pramanam, he cannot arrive at the truth. Shrutitaha, okay, with the help of the shruti, he must have understood the fact and must ascertain the same fact revealed by the shruti, okay, with reasoning. Reasoning supported by the shruti. What he means is very important. One cannot arrive at this fact of Atma being the only secondless reality unless, okay, merely using the reasoning. He can use the reasoning only to ascertain the fact which is understood from the Shruti. Shruti is the only pramanam. Shrutitaha. From the Shruti only. Only from the Veda Shastram, the means of knowledge, the person must have understood the fact of, okay, Atma being the secondless reality. Kevalam nirvikalpam. Atma, okay, all it is here is only indivisible, undivided reality, the whole. The person understands shrutitaha, then yuktitaha. Okay. From Shruti, he understands the fact, he ascertains the same fact, analyzing the fact, using reasoning. With the help of the reasoning, he can analyze and ascertain the fact which has been already understood from the Shruti. Shrutitaha yuktitaha yaha kevalam nirvikalpam veda. That person alone, Sahayeva avishankitaha. He alone is a person of doubt-free, ascertained knowledge. So what he says, Vedartham vibhagataha kalpayet. Kalpayati ityartaha. Vedartham vibhagataha kalpayati. What does it mean? This person, vibhagataha means distinctly, this person is capable of interpreting the shastram distinctly, properly. How? He says, idam evam param vakyam, idam evam param vakyam. He can say, okay, this statement of this portion of the Veda reveals, okay, the absolute reality. This statement is something pertaining to the reality. Adaha anya param. Okay, this statement is what? Of non-reality. which means this person alone is capable of understanding the contents, actually what revealed by the statements of the Veda Shastram, in keeping with the place of the Shastram also, where, which portion, which place, where it is said, what is being said, what should be the meaning of the sentence, etc. He alone can interpret correctly. To be capable of interpreting all the mantras correctly in keeping with the context, it's important for a person to have ascertained vision of non-duality of the reality. This is the teaching. This is how true. I tell you, this morning I did Bhagavatam class, 4:30 a.m. Okay, until Chigat. Today I came across few words, Samaji, beautiful words I came across. There, Atma is a sarvad, Swadrik. The one beautiful word I came across, Swadrik. Bhagavan is said to be Swadrik. Swadrik means what? Seer of oneself. He is Swadrik. And then, the universe is said to be consisting of Ish Bhagavan. If I say ocean consists of water, means what? Ocean is nothing but water. The whole jagat consists of only Ishvara. That word has there. Such words I came across this morning, Bhagavatam class. I was able to, you know, how can you interpret the, what it means there in the context if we do not have Upanishad understanding? Without Upanishadic vision, it is not possible to really interpret Bhagavat. I really see that. In every Bhagavatam class, I see that. Simply, the words are used, Swadrik. Beautiful, so many beautiful words we came across this morning. That fact is what he says here. What is it? Idam evam param vakyam. Okay, this statement is something which is also connected with the reality. Adaha anya param. This is of something else. Such appropriate, exact interpretations of the mantras in keeping in the place and context is possible only if a person has clear vision of the reality being non-dual, reality obtaining as one's own self. One must see this non-dual reality being one's own self. He is Avishankitaha, which means this person sees very clearly Atma is non-different from anything, everything. There's nothing which is separate from Atma, everything being projections of the Atma. Apratyak bhavaha. Okay? Apratyak bhavaha. Non-separate. There's no pratyak bhavaha. There's no object which is different from Atma. There's no, Atma is non-separate from every object. This is what is the main teaching of this whole Karika. See, one has to see everything from the standpoint of the reality itself. One has to see from the standpoint of what is absolutely real, one must see. Only then everything can be seen correctly. Okay, point of view. From the standpoint of which, what you are seeing things. Then the difference in perceptions. If you see everything from the standpoint of absolute reality, then you can see everything correctly. Everything will fall in its place. Therefore, Avishankitaha. He alone kalpayet, kalpayati. The word kalpayati, kalpayati, everywhere we heard as what? Projects, creates, imagines. Here, he interprets. it implies something more, Samaji. Efficiently interprets, appropriately interprets. That adverb has to be added. Okay. Nahi. Anadhyatmavit. Adhyatmavit. The knower of the self. Anadhyatmavit. Atmavit, the knower of self. Why adhyatmavit? One who knows the reality, Atma, all pervasive reality obtaining as one's own self is adhyatmavit. Atmavit, the knower of self. Adhyatmavit, the knower of all pervasive reality obtaining as content of I. He is adhyatmavit. Pratyegatmavit, that's the meaning. Adhyatmavit. Anadhyatmavit, ignorant. The person is ignorant of self being the truth. Anadhyatmavit. Veda. Anadhyatmavit na Veda. Adhyatmavit Veda. Okay. The knower of Atma knows how to interpret. No Atma alone is capable of interpreting the mantras correctly. Ignorant of the self, ignorant of Atma. Ignorant of the Atma means what? One who does not sometimes in Vedanta class, second class, you can understand what? Oh, I am the knower different from the Atma. Knower consciousness. That is not enough. One must see this. It is subtle vision. Consciousness is the Swarupam. Consciousness is existence. The meaning of the word noun existence, you go and search in dictionary. You cannot find. Meaning of this existence is nothing but consciousness only. Relatively you can say, oh this is existence, this is non-existent. Absolutely, the meaning of the existence is nothing but consciousness. Consciousness is existence. They are not even two. Is it? That is, only if you understand consciousness being the reality, you can see the same consciousness being the existence of everything, then that is when the person is adhyatmavit Veda. Anadhyatmavit na Veda. Adhyatmavit means one who knows the consciousness being the existence of all the projections superimposed upon the Atma. That is the thing, okay? Nahi anadhyatmavit Veda means what? Jnatum na shaknoti. Jnatum na shaknoti. Sanskritam sounds like Hebrew. Look at this. Jnatum na shaknoti. Not able to know how tattvataha in reality. Exactly. Okay. Nahi anadhyatmavit kaschit kriyaphalam upashnute. Oh, here is a statement from Manu Dharma Shastam. Okay. Manu Shastam, what he says. Nahi anadhyatmavit kaschit kriyaphalam upashnute. See, here kriyaphalam means, see, making use of the pramanam. Making use of the pramanam is said to be kriyaphalam. Okay. The benefit of making use of the pramanam is kriyapalam. Making use is what? Kriya. Action. The person is involved in the act of making use of the pramanam. The palam, this is a benefit. The benefit of the act of operating the pramanam. The benefit of enjoying the benefit of the act of making use of the pramanam. A person enjoys complete the end, all the benefit, entire benefit of you making use of the pramanam. A person enjoys only if a person is adhyatmavit. Anadhyatmavit means he cannot enjoy the benefit of make use of the pramanam also, because he does not know how to extract the meanings. What meaning should be extracted in which context? That is why the approach of a person of vision of non-duality towards the shastram is different from the approach of a person who accepts the duality as the reality. Anybody can approach the shastram, but how will be his interpretation? How much can he benefit from the shastra pramanam? Before assessment also, understanding, if a person approaches the shastram, he can enjoy complete benefit of making use of the shastram. Other, how much can he make use of it? How much can he enjoy the benefit of it? The beauty today, what is the special word here? Adhyatmavit. What is the difference between atmavit, adhyatmavit? Atmavit, knower of the self. That's correct. Atmavit is adhyatmavit only. But specifically said, an adhyatmavit means the person who sees atma being non-different from its projections. Thereby, who sees atma being non-dual. Okay? Thereby, who sees atma as everything. And who sees that atma is everything being one's own self. This much you have to say for the word adhyatmavit. Got it? Nahi anadhyatmavit kaschit kriya phalam upashnute. Definite anadhyatmavit, the person who does not have the clear vision of the shastram, really cannot, does not enjoy the benefit of making use of the entire pramanam. Itihi manavam vachanam. This is the words of the manu, manusmruti. Okay, 30th karika is over. 31st we have to go. Yadi etadi. Now, 30th karika is over. We have to say 31st karika. Yadi etade dvaitasya asatvam uktam. See, I know this 30th karika just repeated only what has been said already. Isn't it? Today, this class is not for knowing anything new. For you to reascertain, consolidate, assimilate what was said in the class yesterday. The whole class, repetition of things. I'm not repeating. I have to just say what is said here. So much of importance. We all have to become adhyatmavits. Okay? Adhyatmavits one should become. Yadu yetadu dvaitasya asatvam uktam yuktitaha tadu yetadu vedanta pramana avagatam ityaha. Again, I'm saying, I'm not repeating. Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the following karika, saying, yadu yetadu dvaitasya asatvam uktam. See, the fact has been already revealed. Uktam. Which fact? Dvaitasya asatvam. Dvaitasya asatvam. Mithyatvam of the duality. Mithyatvam, okay, non-reality of the duality. Duality being non-real. Mithyatvam of the duality has been all, which has been already revealed, discussed. How? Yuktitaha. Okay? Based on reasoning. Tadi etade. Okay? Look at this. That fact of the mithyatvam of the duality, which has been arrived at through reasoning, don't think it's been only through reasoning, Vedanta Pramana Avagatam, it has been already understood through the Vedanta Shastra Pramanam only. See, we are using reasoning, isn't it? When we are using reasoning to arrive at the fact that duality is mithya, duality is not real, duality is not real, okay, duality is non-real, this fact has been arrived at through reasoning, logically arrived at the fact, which has been arrived at through reasoning, logically, which has been, this has been already understood through the Vedanta Shastram only. Vedanta Avagatam means what? Come on, don't think. Reasoning directly helps you arrive at the fact of reality being non, duality being mithya. No. You understood through the Shastram only. So what he wants to convey in one sentence, Shankaracharya says, Vedanta Shastram is the pramanam to understand the fact that the whole universe of duality, plurality is mithya. Is nothing but mere projections of the appearances of the only reality. So what is this only reality? So duality is mithya. This fact has been already revealed by the Shastram. Understood from the Shastram. Shastra Avagatam. Vedanta Pramana Avagatam. Mithyatvam, asatvam, here he used the word mithyat, asatvam. Asatvam or mithyatvam of duality has been, okay, understood from the Shastram alone, analyzed further logically and again consolidated, ascertained, okay, logically. Which means the reasoning must be, okay, based on the Shastra teaching only. The logic, reasoning, inference, reasoning, independently, without the Vedanta, will be of no use. Will not help you. That fact is said here. That alone, in the 31st Karika, this is what Gaudapada Acharya, again, states. This fact is stated in the 31st Karika. So this, that's what Shankar Bhagavatpada introduces the Karika in this manner. Is it clear? Yad yetad dvaitasya asatvam uktam yuktitaha tad yetad vedanta pramana avagatam. Dvaita asattvam Vedanta Pramana Avagatam. Dvaitasya asattvam Vedanta Pramana Avagatam. Non-reality of the duality is understood from the Vedanta Shastram only first. Later on, the same fact understood from the Vedanta Shastram alone, analyzed logically and ascertained with the help of reasoning. Oh. Who will have doubt after this class? So much of repetition. I did not have to repeat. Acharya repeats, Gaudapada Acharya repeats, Shankara Gaudapada repeats. That's why Bhashyam study means thorough understanding. Now what we are really magnifying, elaborating is one word of the mantra. Prapancha upashamaha. Prapancha upashamaha, one word is taken. The one word meaning only, we are seeing in these 36 karikas. So, namaskarams to Rishis, namaskarams to Gaudapada Acharya, namaskaram to Shankara Bhagavatpada, namaskarams to, I think I am very thankful to all of you also, enabling me to be with Shastram, just to be myself. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate.